Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello.
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 You pod
to win the game. That's the great thing about sports.
You pod to win the game.
All right, welcome into You Pod to Win the Game. I am Charles Robinson here with Frank Schwab. Frank, did you and I do the first Tom Brady retirement, or was that Wetz?
It was you and Wetz, because I was at a cheerleading competition, of all things, stuck in a high school gym for a couple of hours, not expecting Tom Brady to retire for the first time. And by the way, Charles, I have cleared out the hour after the NCAA tournament selection show, because that's when Tom Brady likes to return to the NFL. So I'm just anticipating. No, I'm kidding. This one's for real, I believe.
By cheerleading competition, Frank means.
There's no euphemism there. Yeah.
Strip club.
No, really. Truly, I was at a remote Colorado high school. And I was writing stories on my phone, sending them to Joey Galino. It was a day. It was a day, man.
Yeah. I recall that day. Well, here we are here once again. Tom Brady retiring. A little more unexpectedly this time, did it on his terms, on the beach, into his phone, got a little choked up, but got right to the point, wasn't going to draw it out. Felt, frankly, a little more what I would have expected this to be like a year ago, if it hadn't been broken by other people. To steal Tom's phrase last year, I would never say never, but this felt like there was a little more finality behind it than when we were talking about it, you know, this time last year. Let's give it a week and see if Tom puts on the tap dancing shoes and anything changes. But I wrote a little bit today about how, you know, look, this is going to ripple and affect a couple of teams that would have realistically been involved here. I think as many as a dozen teams were speculated. It was really only a couple at the end. It was clearly leaning toward retirement or maybe a Hail Mary with the San Francisco 49ers, depending on how the Brock Purdy surgery turned out. He leans into retirement. And again, to me, I just think it's one of those things where when you looked at the landscape and the longer it went, it felt like the smaller, and you and I talked about this, the smaller the opportunities out there that made sense seemed to be. And so if it wasn't going to be Tampa Bay, and really this is kind of how I felt exiting the NFC title game. It was sort of after talking to some people, if it wasn't going to be Tampa Bay and there was no chance at a Hail Mary with San Francisco, it was probably going to be retirement for Tom Brady.
Yeah, and real quick, I just thought the way he did it was so interesting because, and it made me think about a lot of things, like, was one of the reasons he came back because he couldn't kind of announce his retirement on his terms last year? I mean, I don't know. That's probably a bridge too far, but you know he was upset about it. I remember them denying it right away. Yeah. And then a couple days later, everybody knew. So he put out a statement. But this time he did it on his own terms, which I thought was important to him for whatever reason. And yes, I think he's a smart guy, a self-aware guy for being that much of a celebrity, self-aware. I think he knows, like, if he comes back in a month, he knows that it's just not going to go over well. I mean, everybody, it would be ridiculous and everybody would hate him for it. So I think this is it. I don't think there's anything they could draw him back out. I really don't. I mean, you know, he starts the clock on his Fox career, which has that huge contract and everything. This just feels like this is the way he wanted to go out. Whatever way. I think he knows too that he left everything on the field. When they lost to the Rams last year, he was still, you know, the guy leading the NFC and NFL, I guess, in passing yards, played well that year. This year he came back and it was a struggle. Everything was a struggle. And he still wasn't bad. This was, as I've said 100 times, this was not 2015 Peyton Manning. He played fine. He acquitted himself as well as any 45-year-old quarterback is ever going to acquit himself. But I think he kind of probably knew in the back of his head, this ain't going to get much better at age 46. My situation in Tampa isn't going to get better because that team was kind of built to win. Now we'll talk about them in a second. What's he going to do? Go to the Raiders and start all over again? No, not at 46. So I think he knew, look, this is the way I want to go out. I want to announce it the way I want to announce it. I've got nothing left to give. I think Wetz wrote about that earlier. And I thought this felt a little more fitting than last year when it was like, wow, it's surprising he's going out right now. This time around, it's like, yeah, this is the right time for Tom Brady.
The only thing I think that I was asked this morning, is there any scenario? And I thought after seeing the video, no. But only thing that I think, and you know, I've mentioned this a couple of times over the last week or so, I think if the 49ers get a month, 2 months, you know, whatever's going on with Purdy, I think the 49ers are sitting there and they're going, hey, look, what if there's complications here? There's an elbow surgery. It does look like the recovery bumps into training camp. We don't know if this is going to be elongated by complications. Who knows? Sometimes in the case of surgeries, there need to be second cleanup surgeries. You just never know. Okay. Occasionally things go wrong. Brian Griese is the quarterback's coach there, right? Former Michigan quarterback. Kyle Shanahan thinks a hell of a lot of Tom Brady. It was his childhood team growing up. The only way in the world I could see Tom changing his mind here is if the 49ers called him and said, look, things are not going right. We need you for 2023. Here's the team that's around you. Should be largely the same exact team that we saw here. Now, there's going to be obviously some tinkering here and there, but for the most part, the 49ers aren't going to be in any kind of salary cap hell. They can finesse anything and return the vast majority of that team the way it looks now. If you told me that, I would say to Tom Brady, you're insane. Tell your kids I love you. I want to be near you in Miami. This was the plan, is to be here, to be close. That's why I really basically retired, because my options, the best option I had at this point was the Raiders. Takes me too far away. This is different. I'm gonna finish out my career with my childhood favorite team. And not only that, it is a roster that is built every bit as good as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were, the 2020 season. And it offers me an opportunity to finish on a note that is different than what happened in 2022. And I mentioned what happened in 2022 because as we advance, let's say Tom stays retired. As we advance down the line, we get 5 years out, 10 years out, whatever. I'm guaranteeing you now, and I'll come back and do the podcast if I'm 70 when this comes out, Tom Brady's going to look back and he's going to go, you know what? Kind of feel like 2022 got stolen from me. And I don't mean stolen in the way that someone else took it. I mean in the way that I went through a divorce. I lost 15 pounds, played 15 pounds light. I went through the FTX stuff, which was just a horrible nightmare. And we had massive injuries on our offensive line. Nothing was really right, you know, offensively with the team. And I hate to put it in these terms, but so many things went wrong personally, privately, financially, and then on the field. I don't know how he would look back and not regret a little bit, even though he made the playoffs, not regret a little bit that things couldn't have kind of gone a little bit better. And maybe it's the penance he pays for all the other years before that last year when everything was always going right.
He did catch a lot of green lights. Yeah,
yeah, he did.
You make good points on the 49ers situation. And the one thing I have thought about the 49ers is this Brock Purdy timetable that they put out, where it's really tight. And if it gets to a point where, like you said, it's July and all of a sudden, man, Purdy's way behind, there's nobody left out there. All the teams have done the musical chairs in March. Like, there's no real legitimate option in July if it's like, wow, Purdy had a setback, Purdy, the surgery didn't take, whatever it is. There's almost no question they pick up the phone and at least make the call. I don't know. I still don't think Tom would come back. I think he's just done. I just think last year was tough. You could see it on his face. You could see it the way he talked. He had a couple good moments, but it was a trying year for him for many of the reasons you said. I don't think he'd come back, but you're right. I mean, he'd probably say, I'm not just going to like not answer the phone if Kyle calls. I'm gonna pick up the phone and hear what he has to say. So I think you make a good point that's one situation where you're like, man, everything lines up. And I don't think anybody for all the people who would be like, oh, this is just like Brett Favre. He's coming back. He's retiring. He's coming back. I think anybody would understand. Like,
yeah.
Okay, San Francisco needs a quarterback.
Yeah, no
They
way.
Call Tom Brady. Tom Brady's like, this is my team from my childhood. I grew up in the Bay Area. I think that would be the one understandable. Like, yeah, okay, he came back, but it was a perfect scenario.
Even the critics, I think at that point would go, hey, man. Like, yeah, if it was me, like in this situation, right. Like this is what else could you possibly ask for? And even if you have some of the 49ers holdouts who are groaning, saying, what about Trey Lance? And I'm just telling you, I don't know how many times I can repeat this. He is about as far down in terms of confidence, in terms of their confidence in him as he has been. He's going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting as soon as he is available and healthy. And he's probably going to have to hope Brock Purdy can't be a part of whatever the pro passing program is at that point, whenever Trey Lance gets, because he's going to go, I need to get out there and be the sole focus for a while to remind these guys why they drafted me, that I can improve, that I can play better. If it's like last year's camp, roll Trey Lance out there for a week. And you know what you're going to have? You're going to have the beat writers going, if it's anything like last year, they're going to be going, well, maybe this is. And pretty soon you're going to have fans going, just call him. Right. just call the guy and get him in here.
You got the number. You can get this
number. Yeah. And I think even his biggest critics at that point would go, look, when it's perfect, it's perfect. It was like, remember I watched the documentary, The Redeem Team, about how, you know, the team that came back to win the gold in the Olympics after, you know, the post-apocalyptic, you know, dream team era where all of a sudden the U.S. fell on hard times in basketball, and they added Kobe like right at the end. Like it was, you know, they'd gone through, time had passed, and then they added Kobe to it. And really, what the hell is anybody going to say? They're adding Kobe. And, you know, and Kobe made some comments, I'm tired of watching you guys lose or whatever it was. Like, that's why I'm here. Like, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you're not going to at that point, you're going to go, yeah, bring him in. Let's do it. And NFL fans as large, do you think, would we really complain about that? I'd be like, oh, that's cool.
I think it'd be an unbelievable storyline. Like, it'd be crazy to see Brady coming back with that team. I mean, that team is, as we saw with Brock Purdy, set up to win almost in spite of the quarterback. You give Tom Brady, the way he played this year, if he could replicate that, I think that's good enough for the 49ers to make a deep play.
Yeah.
It'd be unbelievable. It'd be an unbelievable story. It would. But I'd be like, 85-15, maybe more, 90-10.
I agree.
He's going to be retired. But I do agree with you. That's the one scenario that makes you go, yeah, okay, well.
All right, well, look, let's look at the Bucks. But I'll make a promise with you now. If it's over, if it's done, you and I promise next offseason, when we go through the 2023 season without him, we're not doing any of this. We're not doing any of the Brady speculation.
I can't make that promise. I can't make
Come on, promise. Frank.
It's going to be week six, and like,
commit.
Dak Prescott's going to blow his ACL. We're going to be like, Jerry Jones is going to make a call. We're going to do it. You know it. Come on, Frank. Come on.
Okay. The Bucks. They're going to take a cap hit in this, $35.1 million. Now they can designate a post-June 1 retirement and basically split apart the cap hit so they can spread it out over a couple years, which we'll see. Because if you look at their roster, they have a bunch of players who are over 30 years old, a couple of free agents, guys that so the buzz here at the Senior Bowl, I'm in Mobile, Alabama, by the way, the buzz is connecting like Derek Carr. Like, that's probably the Derek Carr destination. I only believe that if the Bucks are like, let's not reboot completely now. Let's not just nuke it right now and start all over again. Let's see if we can maybe put this back together again, you know, with some health. Yeah, we're going to lose some older guys. Maybe there's going to be some cap casualties with some of the older guys. I don't know. I feel like now is the right time to do it. And what's really interesting, too, is you have the Bucks sitting there at 19. Anthony Richardson, this quarterback out of Florida, who's super high ceiling guy, tools like crazy. But people seem to be equating him not as a player, but sort of in terms of the development, as like a Jordan Love situation. Hey, if he didn't have all the development in front of him, he'd be like a top five pick. But as you get closer to the draft, teams are going to say, well, a lot of raw skills here. It's going to take time to develop this guy, and that he could potentially be a back half of the first round kind of guy. I know some draft analysts are saying he's not even a first round pick, whatever. I'm not a draft analyst, so I'm not going to get into that argument. But I do think it's intriguing that Tampa's sitting there at 19. Kyle Trask is the only quarterback on the roster right now. There's a kid that grew up in Gainesville, played at Gainesville High School. And if you've seen some of the highlights, just go watch the LSU game. It's insane. It's like, Cam Newton. Genesis. It's like watching Cam, like a raw Cam Newton. Like, it's just, it'll be interesting to see what Tampa ultimately decides to do, not only with maybe just doing the entire roster rebuild, one big meteor strike in 2023, and whether or not they want to take a quarterback in the first round.
And I honestly think you take, if Richardson falls to you and you like him in a draft process, and I think they would well enough, no matter whether you sign Derek Carr or not, you draft that guy. You say, well, okay, we're going to, and if it ends up that Derek Carr starts all 5 years of Richardson's rookie deal, fine. That means he's probably played pretty well. Who do you think is their opening day starter? It's probably Carr, right? Like, I think that they do have to look at this roster and say, man, we're really not far off if we can get this guy healthy. They're going to talk themselves into it, and they're going to want a veteran, and obviously Derek Carr's the top veteran out there.
Look, I think if you're Todd Bowles, you're sitting there going, I don't know if I survive a reboot. Like, he's correct, probably correct.
Correct. No, he won't.
Any straight coach up in that position is sitting there going, I gotta keep trying to win now. I don't want to do a reboot because I won't make it. And that potentially be my last job in the NFL. Yeah, I don't think it'll be Trask, but I say that. I'm not in practice down there. I don't see what Trask looks like in practice. I can't tell you off the top of my head what I remember him looking like in his limited opportunities. You know, there's going to be obviously some system familiarity there for him, except for the fact that you just fired your entire offensive staff. And on Monday, it was funny when you get to Mobile and you're talking to people. And I was talking to somebody about just OC jobs and, you know, who's interviewing where and like where. And the thing coming out of Tampa, and that what made me think Monday, like, may they really do think they have a shot at bringing Brady back, was part of what they were talking about with coordinators was like, what's the Brady plan? Like, tell us like how we're going to structure this. And we really want to get, you know, Tom back to what looked like in 2021 and 2020, you know, what can we do schematically with the pieces that we have? Those interviews weren't necessarily occurring on Monday. I'm just saying coming in Monday at the Senior Bowl, the inference was that they believe that he could potentially return. Who do you think the opening day starter is? I mean, here's the thing about Carr. Remember, you're dealing with some salary cap issues here. Even if you split it post June 1.
That's true too. Yeah.
What's Carr going to command? What kind of contract is he be looking for? He's probably a guy who could manage to get a deal that's not a 1 year show me. I mean, he doesn't, you know, people know what he sort of is. So it's not like a 1 year show me. To me, it's more like somebody's going to look at him and say, okay, we got a 3 year window here. Let's offer him 3 years, $90 million, you know, so I mean, whatever it is.
Yeah, I was going to say three.
Yeah, something in that range. And then just go, well, either he's our bridge or he ends up being our starter, you know, or he's our bridge. And then 2 years in, we're like, oh, no, he's fine. We're great. He's got another 3-4 years and let's extend him.
Let's extend him like Kirk Cousins.
Right, exactly. Yeah, perfect example, Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't – a lack of knowledge about Trask, but they got to have more quarterbacks on that roster and – I still think if
it just speaks, I guess this conversation more than us making a guess on who's going to be their quarterback speaks to the hole that they're going to be in at quarterback. I mean, this is like, it's not like they can't dig themselves out. Maybe they sign Carr, maybe they draft Richardson. He's great. But now they enter this quarterback abyss where we seriously can't come up with a great plan for what they're going to do. And the Bucs are probably like, look, no regrets. The Bucs won a Super Bowl. They did win three division titles in a row. I think New Orleans won the first one. So they won Super Bowl, then two division titles. No regrets there. That was great. The Tom Brady era was just like Peyton Manning here in Denver. But now it's over. And you kind of built this like, we're just going to win now until Tom's done. Well, Tom's done. Now what do you do? And it's tough. It's going to be tough for them. They're not drafting high enough to get one of the top guys who don't have the cap space to just go spend whoever they want to spend on. It could be a few years for them. You know, we'll see where they go with it.
I mean, look, you can't do this when you own an NFL team. Steven Ross proved that. You can't, you know, but I'd be like, Caleb Williams looks pretty good in our own pick in the 2024 draft. Blow it up. Whatever cap hits you got to take, accelerate them all now. Like, you know, hey.
Just don't hire Lovie Smith to be your coach.
That's when you go to Todd Bowles. You go, look, Todd, here's the deal. This sucks. We're screwing you. We know we're screwing you. Here's a 3-year extension on top of the money you're making now. We're going to guarantee all of it. So, you know, just sort of like the Browns did this like shadow extension with Hugh Jackson when they were just destroying the team. And they still ended up like in this huge fight with Hugh. Like it just, I don't know. There's probably no good way to do it. But look, Caleb Williams, Drake May, everybody's already talking about that class in 2024. You know, let's see how this whole thing shakes out. But I wouldn't put it off. You know, there's just, again, go look at the roster. You're kind of like, oh, man, there's just a lot of, there's plenty of guys in the back nine. There's a few more already in the clubhouse. Like, let's just go ahead and get this moving. Obviously, the other big piece of news, Sean Payton. I'm glad, by the way, thank you for clearing this up before Super Bowl week. So we don't have to deal with it, right? Right? That's like the one blessing. Yeah. I'm like, I'm down in Mobile. Do I, you know, all this is happening now. And I'm like, well, at least it's not Super Bowl week. It could be worse. Sean Payton finally on the move. The Broncos acquire him. They traded 2023 first, a 2024 second rounder. And in return, they get Sean Payton and a 2024 third rounder. Big question here, by the way, that everybody wants to know. And nobody knows because the deal's not done yet. What's Sean getting? Like, what's the money? Everybody wants, agents, you know, like guys from teams. They're like, is he really getting $25 million a year? Like, everybody wants to know this. And then it's like, if he's getting 25, what's going to happen to GM money? Like, all kinds of stuff. So it's kind of fun. But like, the two big questions that are come out of this are, depending on how, if Sean does great and he puts it all together, awesome, and they move forward and we don't talk about all this, but if he struggles, I wonder if we're going to get into the conversation about like they go through the process with him. And then it sure did seem like they were trying really hard to hire D'Amico Ryans. Seemed like they were making an effort with Jim Harbaugh, I talked to somebody with the Saints on Monday and I was like, what? I was like, what exactly happened here? I'm like, what's the deal? Without getting into too many details, like especially early on, the Saints were clearly looking for a couple first-round picks. And I think that the fact that Denver's pick that they had to offer this year, it's the end of the first round, it's like 29th, right?
The Bradley Chubb pick.
Yeah, and it's like, look, let's talk about that pick. That pick is not commensurate to what a first-round pick is going to be on the Saints board. The Saints are going to have like 14 first-round grades on average. That's like, at best, somewhere in the second. And they really wanted value of two firsts for Sean Payton. I wonder how much that had to do with what happened. I wonder, he's denied there was any kind of a issue in the interview about like control and, you know, how if there could be issues between Sean Payton and ownership. I'll just say this, for an acquisition, it was weird, not the cleanest. The timeline was a little odd. What I ended up writing about this was like, I hate to break it to Broncos fans. If you're looking at this, is he just going to come in and turn the key and everything's going to be great again? That's not what he's being hired to do. He's being hired to not come in and adapt to what is already there. He's being paid to come in and make us into a winning culture, a winning franchise. You know, this is not like, hey, Sean, come in and do things the Broncos way. It's quite the opposite. Sean, come in and tell us how things need to be done so that we can get Russ fixed and the offense fixed and everything fixed and move forward.
I agree with that completely. I think you're right that, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
I mean, the Broncos haven't been in the playoffs in 7 years. They're a bad franchise right now. Nobody here wants to admit it. I'm based in Colorado. Nobody here wants to be like, yeah, we're among the dregs. We're a team where D'Amico Ryan said, Broncos or Texans? Texans are the most dysfunctional team in the NFL. I'm going to go to the Houston Texans. I get it. There's history there. But you still, at the end of the day, D'Amico Ryan said, I'd rather coach the Houston Texans than Denver Broncos. There's a lot of work to be done, changing everything here. But I thought it was a great hire. There's this weird, like, a few people out here, oh, Sean Payton's not that good. Yeah, Drew Brees, whatever. That's lazy. Sean Payton helped Drew Brees. Drew Brees helped Sean Payton. There's no doubt about that. But this dude is 63 games over 500, has a Super Bowl ring. Who'd you think you were going to get who's better, really? Like, even Harbaugh. Harbaugh had coached in the NFL 10 years. Harbaugh has Gruden 2.0 vibes.
He didn't win a Super
Bowl. Maybe he'll be
a
great...
He didn't win a Super Bowl either. I mean...
Right. Correct. And if he comes back ever, and I think we're going to do this dance every year with Jim Harbaugh, he might be great, but I don't know that it's a slam dunk. I do love D'Amico Ryans, but there's no track record there. We don't know who D'Amico Ryans going to be. I know what Sean Payton is. Sean Payton is a very good coach. He's a top 10 head coach in the NFL. He comes in, like you said, resets a culture. I think it's ultimately good for the Denver Broncos, and it's going to be worth the picks. But also, I mean, people tweeted this out. They were like, here's what the Broncos gave up for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. And it's like first, second, third. And it's like, oh my God, they have no draft picks for like 3 years. They are really going to feel this in 5 years when these guys should be in their second, third year of a rookie deal. But ultimately, I think they made the right move. They had to kind of save face.
To make Broncos fans feel better, though, if, you know, and this is from inside the Broncos, okay? It's there is a sense that the talent base that's there right now can weather. Like, it's not great to have the picks. No one's happy ever to not have those picks. But there's really good talent there right now. And if everybody's healthy and there was horrible injuries last year, there's a hell of a talent base for Sean Payton to come in and start working with right away, which is good. But the point that I made in what I wrote yesterday was I've never seen a situation where a quote unquote elite level coach, or at least a coach is paid at an elite level, and when you're paid an elite level, a lot of power comes with that, especially when your pipeline is to the owner. Okay. It's not to George Payton, to the owner. It's to the owner. You know, the ownership group of the Broncos made that clear. That's going to be the conduit of information. It's direct. I've never seen a coach go into a situation and after 1 year not have a list of players in his mind that are not going to be in the boat. Like they don't like them from a talent standpoint, or they don't like them from a character standpoint. They don't like them from an attitude standpoint. They don't like them from a preparation standpoint. Whatever it is, aptitude, whatever they're looking for, scheme. There is always a list after year one for that head coach, and they're making it through the course of the previous offseason, training camp, the season, where they're like, nope, not moving forward with that guy. And sometimes it's people who are running out on contracts. Sometimes it's players who are in the middle of contracts. I'm telling you, the Denver roster is going to have to change because Sean Payton is going to want portions of the Denver roster to change starting now and then after season one. So be prepared for that. I will say this too about Payton. You bring up the track record idea. He did only win one Super Bowl, but if you look at the expanse and you talk to people who, other coaches, veteran coaches in the league who know Sean or competed against the Saints during his era, he did change his offense. Like, people don't realize that. It went from a very, very pass-heavy scheme early in Drew's career with Sean, and Sean had to battle constantly with Drew to try and get it to be more of a complementary football scheme in terms of their balance down the stretch, because he knew Drew was aging out. Like, he knew this guy's not going to be able to do and carry us the way he could, so we have to balance it and become more of a complementary team. Now, they did. They hit a lot of injuries toward the end there. There were expectations they could hit another Super Bowl, and they hit a little bit of a book.
And by the way, they took two of the worst beats in the playoffs.
Look, the Rams.
Minneapolis Miracle and the missed PI.
The Rams is the worst.
I mean, Sean Payton could easily be sitting on three rings, right? Oh,
the Rams was awful. I was there for that, you know. I was there, and I was like, I thought Sean Payton was literally going to have a meltdown in the middle of this. Like, it was probably the angriest he's ever been in his entire, you know, life. I mean,
they should have been
in a game. This is going to be fun to watch. I just think that, like, Broncos fans have to be, I know they don't want to be patient, but you're going to have to be patient, because this is just like if you had hired Sean Payton last year instead of Hackett. It's not just hiring a coach to flip it and you're ready to go. It's hiring a coach to do the long-term fix and get it solved.
Right. And the problem with the long-term fix, again, I hate to bring it up again, but you're saying, okay, this is like 3-4 years. Well, in 3-4 years, all these draft picks he gave up are going to start catching up to
right.
You. So
yeah,
it's really hard to balance that whole, like, yeah, you're not expecting to win now, but if you don't win now, I don't think you're winning later. Like, I mean, unless we're talking about like a 10-year project where we're like, all right, Sean will get it going in a couple of years, get weed people out. They're going to go through a couple of rough years where these lost draft pick classes, and then he can start building in 2027. Like, that's a long time, man, especially for a franchise that again hasn't been in the playoffs.
His GM, George Payton, is going to have to pick up the slack there.
And he's really good. He's people out here really wanted George Payton fired. Like, really, truly. Like, George Payton needs to go. He screwed up. We're also, I'm like, I've always said, he's a great talent evaluator. And now is when he has to make that money. He's got to hit fourth-round picks. He's got to hit sixth-round picks. But he's got to hit free agency. Like, it's got to happen.
I dispute that Payton's been terrible. Like, no, I know everyone, you know, I've got the same thing. I've got a really good friend who's a Broncos fan. And we've kind of been going at it on text for a while now, and he's listening right now and probably thinking, like, I know who he's talking about. If you go up and down Peyton's track record there, there have been some good decisions that he's probably not getting credit for. A lot of people are going to point to Russ. I get Russ. I get the, you know, like, hey, they didn't wait, you know, to figure out and make sure that this was going to work or whatever. I still think someday maybe the backstory about Nathaniel Hackett getting hired, and really, I will always believe he was supposed to be paired with Aaron Rodgers, and everything did not work out the second Rodgers kind of just disappeared and decided I want to stay in Green Bay. Yeah, he's going to have to earn his money. One other thing I'll bring up too is when you talk to other people about the Peyton hire, everybody that's close to Sean knows, hey, he and Jeff Ireland, really close working relationship. You know, he and Mickey Loomis, really close working relationship. But Ireland is the one that people are like, well, do you think there's a chance down the line Jeff Ireland becomes the general manager in Denver? Because Ireland was really this grinder for Sean. He retooled their draft process a few years ago before their big, you know, Kamara, Ramchek, that whole draft. He's had some pretty big successes there. And the thing is, I know Sean trusts him. That's just another part of that dynamic where it's like, okay, it's not just Sean's fit with ownership. It's Sean's fit with George Payton. It's Sean's fit with the methodology. And eventually it's just, do you fit with Sean? Not how does Sean fit with everybody else? So I'm looking forward to when we find out what the money is. I hope I'm the person to find out what the money is. But
man, I bet that number is probably, yeah, I think there's going to be some surprise. It almost had to be, right? Like, the Broncos were in this fiasco of a coaching search that was really going bad. They weren't making, at some point you just had to say, screw it, anybody else thinks we got to get this done with Sean Payton, because Jim's not coming. We're not getting D'Amico. Dan Quinn's already gone back to Dallas. We need something here. We got to save some face. Whatever. Here's the blank check, Sean. What do you want? You got to assume he got a ton of money.
Before we move on, real quick, one question I have for you. How does he fix Russ? Like, what do you think he does to fix Russ?
I don't know specifically, but I think one point that you made, which I think is very enlightening, they changed for Drew Brees late in his career. This was not the great Drew Brees. I love Drew Brees. Like, I've always thought he's underrated. But they changed to adjust to what he didn't do well. And I think the same thing's going to happen in Denver. We're not going to see. Look, when he came in, everybody, including Hackett, was like, this is Russ's offense. He's going to do whatever he wants. He's going to carry us. He's going to be awesome. And that just didn't work out. Whereas Peyton's going to come in and not really be beholden to Russell Wilson, but say, hey, I know how to make this work. I did this with Drew Brees when he wasn't, you know, different ages. Russ is younger, but we all see the slippage in play. Where Peyton can say, I've done this before with one aging quarterback. I could do it with you, but you got to trust me on this. We're going to be a different, it's not going to be the Russ Cook offense, but we can have success here. And after last season, I don't know if Russell Wilson's in a spot where he could really argue with that. Like, I think you're going to see a different Denver Broncos offense. It's not high volume Russ offense we all envisioned, but until he proves otherwise, he's not that dude.
Let Russ microwave.
let Russ maybe pick some ingredients and let someone else cook.
Broncos country, let's find a reliable mode of transportation. This stage is a little bit to work, right? I mean, like, yeah, hey, just a little bit. You don't got to cook and you don't got to ride, all right? Let's microwave it, jump on the bus. Yeah. All right,
take the light rail. Yeah.
All right, let's throw it to our sponsors. We'll come back on the other side. All right, let's come back in. The other news, obviously, D'Amico Ryans hired by the Texans to be their head coach. I don't want to say I called it, but I called it. I have no idea when I said this. Feel like it was a long time ago. Feel like it was before D'Amico Ryans was mentioned in any sentence with the Texans, you know, way back. This was the layup. Like, I really felt, but, you know, because it is an ownership group that I don't think anybody can trust in Cal McNair, you just don't know if they're going to hit the bunny or not. I think they hit the bunny. It was someone who wanted to be there. And I think that's a big deal to Texans fans. I've talked about Lions fans in this respect with Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell wanted to be in Detroit, wanted to embrace Detroit, was the Detroit versus everybody guy. And I think the Texans want someone where they're like, we know that guy. He was here. He balled out here. J.J. Watt loves him. All the players around him love him. Andre Johnson loves him. They're down to fight for this guy. I think people, and the thing is, it's a hire that makes sense for the first time in a while with the Texans. It's a head coaching hire where nobody's standing around scratching their head. Everybody's going, yeah, hey, he looks like they could. Not only is he the hot candidate, not only is he respected and done all these things, and he comes from San Francisco. And by the way, the last defensive coordinator to come from San Francisco, sure, you know, did a pretty good job in New York, seems to have that culture turned around. And oh, geez, the offensive guy to come out of San Francisco went down to Miami. He sure seemed to turn that thing around. And the Kyle Shanahan tree is looking pretty good right now. All right, cool. Let's bring D'Amico back in the fold. I think he can reconnect with some other. I've often brought up Andre Johnson is someone that I think other people in the organization would like to see take a bigger role, more permanent role in the organization. Somebody texted me who's, you know, tied to the Texans organization, said, you know, he owns his own club now. I was like, man, I think if they found him a spot, he would figure out a way to do both jobs now. I think for the Texans and for Houston, it's they're happy. They feel like this is something that can work, and it's probably the first sign in a while that ownership appears to know what they're doing, and it leans a little bit more into the favor of, hey, Nick Caserio, maybe Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans can make this work.
You know, I mean, the whole time we talked about D'Amico Ryans, I kind of said, I don't want him to go to Houston because it's such a dead-end job, but this is the best move the Texans could have made. It reminds me of when Ron Rivera was hired by Washington, where I just felt like, Washington doesn't deserve a coach that good, but he's pretty much made it work. I mean, they haven't had great, great success, but he's brought an adult voice into the room and really changed culture.
He's been steady.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I've bought so much stock in D'Amico Ryans as head coach. I think this guy's going to be a star. I hope he's a star. Everything points to the fact that this guy's a great leader. Everybody's on board with this. And the Houston Texans and their fans should be overjoyed over this. For a franchise that needed some shot in the arm, this was not just hiring some anonymous, you know, coordinator who were taking a shot on. This was D'Amico Ryans, a guy who starred in Houston, who had ties, who wanted to be there. And that's a huge deal, like you said. You got to love the hire from the Texans. I hope it works. I hope that they don't screw this up and make D'Amico Ryans the next failed head coach because the ownership and the culture, they're so bad. But I like it. You can't help but give the Texans an A here. They got so lucky that when it happened to be that they needed a coach after firing a one and done for the second straight year, it was one of their guys. It was the hottest young assistant, other than maybe Harbaugh and Peyton, the hottest young assistant on the market, happened to have Houston ties and was like, I want to go there and rekindle what I had. Grasshopper hire. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But right now, as we sit here on February 1st, could not have made a better hire for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, I know it's different, you know, tier. But when all of a sudden Michigan had to go get a coach and Harbaugh, everything was going wrong in San Francisco. And I was like, man, like how much do you lucking out that this guy who went to the Super Bowl on the NFL level, like it's all falling apart between him and his general manager and the owner in San Francisco. Now you know, college program that who knows what else you might be able to get. You can actually go get Jim Harbaugh. This makes a lot of perfect sense, you know. Someone who wants to be there and rebuild it. And that's what I think Ryans wants. I think he wants to be in Houston. He wants to build it. He knows, he lived in the city when he played there. Like, you know, it's funny. J.J. Watt said that his rookie year when he went to buy a house, I'm paraphrasing here, he like went to D'Amico. He's like, where should I buy a house? And he's like, I bought a house right next to D'Amico. Like, because he was like, I just trusted the guy. Like, you know, yeah, he was like, was the leader.
I mean, what other coach could they have hired? Not that this is the be all end all, but what other coach could they have hired who would get the J.J. Watt seal of approval? Get excited, Texans fans. This guy is a leader, and he's going to turn it around.
Yeah.
Like, whoever else they would have, Dan Quinn or whoever, wouldn't have got that. And not, again, that might not matter, but it kind of does to energize a fan base that has had to feel so beaten down the last few years.
Yeah, and, you know, some people are going to roll their eyes at it and be like, oh, J.J. Watt, why does J.J. Watt have to sign off on it? Okay, but here's the thing. Like, J.J. Watt was an unbelievable player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Has a ton of respect in Houston. And it matters. I think it matters to that fan base, the guys that they know who excelled and played at a really high level, who, you know, there was a time where they thought, hey, we might be able to put it all together with this, you know, with some of these teams, that those guys buy into it. Just like Andre Johnson, you know, it does matter.
It does. I mean, maybe minorly, it doesn't. Does that mean D'Amico Ryans is going 11-6 his first year? No, but again, this is a guy who wants to be here as a part of the fabric of the franchise. Like, this is, it's not just some dude off the street who might work, he might not. This is a guy who everybody can rally around, and I think there's some definitely intrinsic value there.
And he starts with the number two pick in the draft, which we'll see what Chicago does at one. You know, if they stick Jalen Carter out of Georgia, the big interior lineman, looks like defensive lineman, looks like he'd probably be the pick there. But I think it'll be a quarterback at two. I don't know if they get leapfrogged or whatever.
I think they will. You know, who knows? Colts number one. Colts go number one.
Colts, yeah, maybe. I mean,
it's easy. 4-1.
We'll see. But I still think quarterback at two makes too much sense. It allows them potentially to keep Laremy Tunsil, to extend Laremy Tunsil, because they could sit there and go, well, look, do we want to pay Laremy an insane amount of money as a, you know, a left tackle in this league? Normally we would say no, except we're going to draft a quarterback and he is now going to protect it. And the quarterback's going to be on a rookie deal. Yeah, let's go ahead and pay Laremy for the next 3-4 years at the top of the tackle market, because not only is he going to protect our guy and keep him upright, which we have not always done historically with quarterbacks. He's a great, you know, he plays great in the run. You know, he did get paid once already and he's excelled. You know, this is particularly this year, he really has excelled and bought in. And it just, yeah, I mean, it makes sense from a standpoint of starting to rebuild. Now, the one thing I will say before we move on here, slightly problematic, and I think of it every single time, highly acclaimed defensive coach gets a head coaching job and then gets paired with a young quarterback or a rookie quarterback. You got to find the right coordinator now who suits that young rookie quarterback, and you inevitably lose.
Yeah, right. That's the problem. Yeah. You do talk about this a lot. I never really bought into this, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. If you want to get a coordinator who's good, but not too good, because then you lose him in a year. Yeah, yeah, it's a tough dance.
Or you really, I mean, you're like, well, we want to get him. We want to be great if we lose him. Well, we just hope that he taught the quarterback's coach or whoever. Yeah, like, we really hope he taught whoever's staying behind and going to graduate to the OC spot, you know, exactly how this needs to work, which is why, you know, it's somewhat of a luxury at times to have a veteran quarterback, you know, and then pair him with a young coach, except we saw in Denver that didn't work with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. So there's no guarantees, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, they'll have to figure it out. The Jets are going through the same thing with Robert Saleh. What happens? They fired their OC. Look, you bring in Nathaniel Hackett and now you're trying to retool things. And
by the way, it happened with another guy, Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
There's a segue for you. Come on, I'm a professional here. I'm giving you a segue to our last.
Kellen Moore hired us the Chargers OC. Dallas is going to tell you over and over, it's not a firing. We didn't fire Kellen. Right. We mutually agreed to part ways. And you're like, all you got to do is be like, is the contract in? Yeah. Did you renew his contract? No. Like, it's not a firing. Wasn't under contract. It's like, we just didn't renew his contract. And it was mutual and did it. No. Man, like, look, in the NFL, if you hear this whole contract wasn't renewed and it was mutual, most of the time, that is, you can go ahead and view that as a firing. I think given what happened in the wake of it, which is Mike McCarthy's going to call the offense in Dallas. That was confirmed today by Jerry Jones. How many years in waiting have we been talking about this? Because Jerry told Mike and everybody denied this. Kellen's really got to be your OC when you come in, you take this job. You know, I think Mike has wanted to call offensive plays all along. He just was waiting for the opening. It presented itself. And now Kellen is in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Got to be overjoyed if you're Kellen, because young quarterbacks, if you get it right, they can mint you as a head coach. Mm-hmm. And
springboard, yeah.
He doesn't. Yeah, I don't think he comes out of Dallas. It's not like, look, did everything turn out the way it could have with Kellen? No. Did he live up to the tippy top excitement of Dallas Cowboys fans, which is pretty hard to achieve anyway? Is he damaged? No. I just think it didn't work out as well as it possibly could have. Some good things happened, some bad things happened. They never found an identity. Dak had a rollback year where he didn't show development. Now he goes and works with Justin Herbert, who, by the way, I talked to somebody at the Chargers. They're like, you watch next year. They're like, you think you've seen him good? They're like, just wait next year. They're like, they are convinced that this is going to be the monumental step that Justin Herbert takes in year four. So if Kellen's at the OC reins when that happens, who knows? Then it's, you know, Brandon Staley stopped with the Rams. Next thing you know, he's that coach. So we'll see. It's a good place, I think, for Kellen to land.
I think that it's good for the Chargers, for sure. I mean, I just, that offense was really lacking last year. Surprisingly, they treated Justin Herbert like a dink and dunk quarterback. Like, there was nothing vertically going on in that offense that they'll need to add to that. They need to add a receiver. That needs to happen.
They were hurt a lot.
But they need to add some speed. But I think if they get, they make just the right move or two, they can have a really, really good offense. I mean, the right guy for it, for sure, as far as Herbert goes. I think Moore is a good play caller. So we both think it's good for the Chargers. Do we think it's good for the Cowboys? Do we think it's good that McCarthy takes over the play calling? That's it. He's done it before, so it's not like he's unfamiliar, but it is still a tough deal to juggle all of this.
Well, it was tough in Green Bay for him. You know, there was always a, you know, how trust me, go back to Green Bay and look through the clips. There's a lot of like, who's calling the plays? Mike going to call the plays? Mike going to give up play calling?
And that's the first thing that happens when things go bad. The Cowboys have a 3-game losing streak. You know, the first question on Monday is going to be, hey, you going to give up play calling? Like, that just the nature of the beast.
Monday. Jerry talks after you get to talk to the owner and GM every Sunday. Right,
that's a good point. But you know, that's the first question that's going to come up. It always does. No. When the head coach calls plays. Listen,
Frank, by Monday, Jerry's already on the radio for the second time. Yeah, right. He's like, all right, here we go. Last night we rubber stamped it. Today it's in granite.
But do you think it's good for Dallas that McCarthy's taking over play calling here?
I think it makes sense because to me, if you're Mike McCarthy, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, we've had incremental progress every single year. You know, year one was a disaster. Year two was positive. We made the playoffs. We failed. Year three, it was positive. We made the playoffs, another 12-win season, and we won a game. Okay. So year four is extremely important. And I think if you're Mike, you're sitting there going, listen, I know what the expectations are here. I know that Dak had a rollback season. I know that the offense failed to find an identity. I know it took way too long for us to figure out what Tony Pollard meant to this offense. And so I think if you're Mike, you're going, listen, if I could get hired or fired at this point, I'm doing it on my calls. I'm not putting my hand, you know, I'm not putting my future in someone else's hands. I am an offensive guy. I should be calling the plays. And if I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired based off my own calls. Screw it. Like, it makes sense. Now, I don't know if it's good or not, although I think the biggest thing for Mike is 2 years ago, I remember in the offseason going into the 2021 season, I was talking to somebody on their staff and he said to me, we're going to run the football. He's like, Mike wants to run the football. He wants to balance it out. It's really important to him. He thinks we have a line. He thinks we have the backs, all these different things. They did at times and then they didn't. Like, it was like turned on and off, on and off. People blame Zeke. People blame, you know, Kellen, all these different things. I think the same thing happened in some instances in 2022. There were times where we were like, wow, they're really running it well. Oh, they found balance. They're a complementary team. And then other times it was like, where did the running game go? Like, what happened? Why have they not? I think it's just there has to be some level of consistency there. And if Mike can at least accomplish that, I think it's a step forward, you know, to finding an identity that is at least, you know, there's some consistency to what they are. As much as I hate what the Buffalo Bills were at times this year, at least it was consistent. Like, I was like, hey, it's all on Josh. That's consistent. I don't like it. Yeah. But yeah, it's not a big mystery. They know what they are. And you know, that's what they're leaning into. I think that's what Mike's ultimately got to figure out. So, but man, he is. There's no more buffer.
No, you know? That's the thing. You talked about wanting to do it your way. Well, that's great, but there's no scapegoats then. There's this offense goes south. Like, you're the guy. Like, it's all on your shoulders. But it'll be very interesting to see. Like you said, I mean, he is a guy who wants balance. He's always been kind of this hard-nosed Pennsylvania dude. Even when he had Aaron Rodgers, he liked balance. So we'll see. It's certainly something we will be talking about over and over and over again for the next 12 months.
I think that the two things I would pay attention to, Skip Pete, the running backs coach, is gone, and Kellen is gone. I don't know what that means, except that I think there is a feeling that something needs to change regarding the running game. And I'm just telling you, based on this conversation that I had going into the 2021 season, you know, Mike is adamant. He was adamant then that he really wants to balance the scheme out and run more and be a complimentary football team. People in Green Bay like rolled their eyes when I think I said this when I was in camp. I feel like he's learned something, and it's like, hey, let's not just put it all on Dak's shoulders and put him in this situation where he's got to be a great game. It's got to be a great game from Dak or we don't win. They can't have that kind of situation. And by the way, they need to figure out if Michael Gallup, you paid him to be a number two. He did not look like a number two. They're going to still, yeah, and it's right, more surgery this offseason. They're going to have a dalliance again with Odell Beckham Jr., guarantee it. Hey, which was, by the way, before we get out of here, I think it was really funny, Odell Beckham Jr., like all of a sudden, I think it was today, it was either today or yesterday, I was like, clips up, Odell cutting and running. And I'm like, it's like February, bro, it's February. Like what? Remember, it was supposed to be November, right. And then it was like, oh, it's going to be December. Oh, by the playoffs. I'm like, dude, it's almost the Super Bowl. And they're like, look, Odell's cutting. I'm like, God. I was like, man, that whole thing was all just
a lot of time talking about that, Charles. A lot of time.
I'm like, February, you cutting? Like, bro, and don't you remember? It was like Dallas was like, you're going to visit, but you're not going to work out. Like, how's that? Doesn't make any sense. Like, make that make sense. Yeah. All right. Well, let's close it up there. Frank, is there anything you're working on this week? I'm down in Mobile, and I'm telling you, I'm just struggling to try and get on, you know, like get onto the practice field and watch practice. Like Sean Payton, finally that happens. And then there's Tom Brady. I'm like, this is like the Corleone family settling all business. Is there anything else tomorrow that like Thursday? What is the one thing?
Jeff Saturday's going to get hired by the Colts tomorrow.
No. It's going to be Jeff Bezos buys Washington.
Yeah, okay. We'll save one of those for Friday. Yeah. Do one of them Thursday. Yeah. But no,
moving franchise to London.
Yeah. I would say boat is you, man. I thought, okay, this week I could set up some stuff for Super Bowl week. Get out. No, it's just been stuff happening. So that's fine. It's the NFL. Always something to talk about.
What are you working on, though? I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to just stuff, just basically stuff for next week. Can't wait to get out there.
Super Bowl.
Excited for the Super Bowl. Excited for the matchup. Hopefully we can concentrate on the Super Bowl. And again, not Jeff Bezos buying the Commanders. That would be nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for us this week. You, as always, you can find Frank Schwab on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. You can get me at Charles Robinson. You can get our podcast producer, Stone Rochelle, at SJ Rochelle. Check out breakingtea.com/Trez. That's capital T for the all juice tier hoodie. Remember that proceeds from that purchase go to support the Trez A. Paylor Scholarship at Howard University. You can also send money directly to that scholarship or the one in Trez's name at Power Mizzou. If you check out our podcast description, please do that. We would really appreciate it. I just want to remind people, in terms of podcast business, there is not going to be a Sunday show this weekend, obviously, because there's no games, but we are going to be back on Tuesday evening from Radio Row in Phoenix. So be prepared for that. Tuesday will be the first pod of the week next week. If you could, leave us a 5-star review. Tell a friend. We appreciate it. We'll see you on Tuesday. Peace.
Find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.